Hello, this is Denise Yon, and welcome to the Brand is Business Bites podcast. The Brand is Business Bites podcast gives you a taste of insights and information about brands, businesses, and the people who work on them. It's available on iTunes. For more stuff for your brain to chew on, please visit my website at deniseleeyon.com.
Hello and welcome to today's podcast. Andy Beal is an internet marketing consultant, award-winning blogger, professional speaker, and co-author of the critically acclaimed book Radically Transparent, Monitoring and Managing Reputations Online. He's worked with companies such as Motorola, GlaxoSmithKline, and NBC. And Andy is also the founder of Tracker.com, a comprehensive and affordable online reputation monitoring and brand tracking tool, which we'll have a chance to hear more about in a moment. But for now, I'm honored to welcome a renowned internet marketing expert. Welcome, Andy.
Thank you, Denise. Appreciate you inviting me onto the show. Look forward to chatting with you.
Great. Well, I'm going to launch right into it because I have tons of questions for you, and I really just want to pick your brain. So as an internet marketing expert, I think your perspective on how internet marketing has changed brand building will be really interesting. So I kind of want to start out with that and just ask you how you've seen SEO and SEM change how companies generate brand awareness and manage the perceptions about their brand.
Well, I think that one thing that's been a big change is that large brands are becoming more aware of the importance of their brand being found across multiple different platforms, and certainly search is one of them. It wasn't that many years ago that you'd have a big company do a big glitzy product launch with TV, print, radio, but then when you type the name of the product into Google, it was basically crickets. There was nothing going on there. So I think that one of the biggest things that we've seen is that search and SEO is being tied into other channels for branding and for launching new products, and is becoming a critical part of that. And, you know, you need only look at the recent Super Bowl to see that those TV commercials that were the most popular generated traffic to the search engines.
Right, right. And actually, that's something that I want to ask you a little bit about later on is the Super Bowl. So I will come back to that. But just kind of staying along this track, I mean, are there specific companies, specific brands that you feel like have really done kind of a great job in transforming how they manage their brand, how they do brand management, and how they generate brand awareness? I'm just looking for some highlights on your radar screen.
There's a lot. You know, you see a lot of companies that have done particularly well. Dell is the one that we talk about a lot because Dell has really embraced lots of different channels, social networking profiles, and Twitter and things of that nature. I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, I see a lot of companies every day. There's no one that's really standing out head and shoulders above the rest, because I think that, really we're seeing so many companies now that are diving in and making sure that they have a brand presence. Any kind of line of Pepsi products seems to do well. They seem to kind of have a comprehensive strategy. Nike has done a lot across different platforms. So it would almost be unfair to single out one particular brand, and it would probably take me 10 minutes to rack my brains to kind of pinpoint one anyway. But, I think that it's a general trend that we're seeing that, search is now, I think, an integral part of most big brand marketing campaigns. And so now they're kind of moving their efforts towards the consumer channels and the social networks, and that's kind of where we're starting to see, companies, diving into, Twitter and Facebook, and whether it's Starbucks or whether it's Rackspace hosting or particular hotels. I'm seeing Four Seasons doing some interesting stuff with Twitter, and you just see across the board that's the next frontier for a lot of these brands.
Mm-hmm. So then that's an interesting question, or that raises an interesting question about how social networking and the social web is changing search. So, as you said, it's the next frontier. So how do you see that evolving? I mean, will search become less important or just of a different importance?
I think that I don't think it's necessarily going to become less important, but it may not necessarily fulfill the role of discovery as much as it used to. So when someone's in the stage of the buying cycle where they have a particular need, search used to fulfill that role pretty heavily. Someone would go in and they would type in, great hotel to stay at in Hawaii. And then they would start their buying process from there, whereas now they may actually go onto Twitter and say, hey, does anybody have any recommendations for places to stay in Hawaii? They'll get those recommendations, and then they may go back to search and say, okay, now I've got some trusted recommendations from my network. I'm going to use Google to see what people have to say about it, see if I can find reviews, see if I can find some specials. So I think that the two are going to complement each other, but I think that whereas Google and other search engines might have controlled pretty much every stage of the buying cycle, I think that we're going to see social media taking over some of those responsibilities.
And it sounds like it will help people do more focused searches. So it's almost like the social media becomes kind of an editing tool and a focusing tool for their using search.
Right. And then also, it's going to be important for brands to make sure that they have a presence in different social networking channels, because the users, the potential customers are going to be expecting to see you discussed on City Search, or to see that you've got a Yelp profile, or to see that you're, they're going to be looking for your reviews on TripAdvisor or Amazon.com. So I think that, it's going to be important to have a presence there, and to, as part of reputation management, to make sure that you're being represented in a way that you feel presents your brand in the most positive light.
Right. So that actually leads me to some other questions I had wanted to ask you about in terms of reputation management. And I guess, my background is that I am a brand building consultant. And so I'm kind of thinking about, I'd like to understand your perspective on are a company's reputation and its brand the same thing? Or in your mind, how are they the same? Or how are they different? How do they kind of work together? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, there are a number of different ways of looking at it. I mean, I think that you can find a lot of common ground by saying that the brand is the same as the reputation. Maybe where a couple places where it might be slightly different is that I think a brand is something that you have more of a say in building. I think you can definitely build a brand and a message that you want to put out there, whereas your reputation may not necessarily match up to the brand that you're positioning yourself to have. Another way of looking at this is every business and every individual has a reputation, but not every business or individual has a brand. So it may be that if you're a smaller company, you may not necessarily have this recognizable brand that's going to increase your conversions or is going to generate business simply because people are seeking you out, but you are going to have a reputation when someone types the name of your business into Google to see what others have to say about you. So there are a number of different ways of looking at it. I don't necessarily think one is more correct than the others, but I think, at the root, I think we're talking about the same thing, but there's definitely some subtle nuance.
Right. So then, companies spend a lot of time, figuring out what they want their brand to stand for, like you said, kind of, building a brand and putting it out there. But do you think that kind of activity developing a brand strategy in general has become less important as brand communications have become more two-way, and so much of what a person might find out about a brand is not from the company itself but from other people?
Well, I think, you hit the nail on the head when you said two-way. It used to be that a brand was decided by the executives within the company, the stakeholders within the closed walls of the company, they'd sit around a table and they'd sit down with their marketing team and they'd come up with what they think their brand's going to be, and they would put forward their marketing message and try and convince the public that that's what they represented and who they stood and what they stood for. Now it's a two-way channel, and you still have that process that goes on, but you've got to take into account the opinions and the feedback of the stakeholders outside of your company. That's going to be potential customers, existing customers, business partners, and you need to take into account what do they think of your brand, what do they think of your strengths and your weaknesses, and you need to take that into account as well. So I think that you are still building this brand, but you're just, there are more opinions that go into that, and I think that a company that still decides to close off the feedback and the input from external stakeholders, they may find it being a rocky road, and they may miss out on opportunities. I mean, I certainly with Tracker, I'm constantly listening for what our users like about the service and what they're saying is a good reason to sign up for the service, because I want to find more people just like them, and so I want to kind of align our marketing message alongside what it was that actually convinced people to sign up and pay for the service. So I think that kind of scales to small businesses like mine all the way up to Fortune 100 companies.
Right. Oh, so actually, can you tell us about Tracker for those of my listeners who don't know about your service? Can you tell us about it and maybe give us an example of how a company has experienced success using it?
Sure. Well, I think the most important thing to kind of mention, the fact that we're on a podcast, is how it's spelled, because it's not how you would expect. So it's TRACKUR.com. And what it is a social media monitoring tool. And you can set it up within 60 seconds. That's one of our strengths. And it starts at just $18 a month. And basically, you type in the name of your brand, your CEO, your products, your competitors. And then every 30 minutes, Tracker scans the web looking for any mentions of those keywords inside mainstream media, social media, Twitter, Flickr, videos. And if we find anything, we bring it back into your dashboard and alert you to that fact. So it's a reputation monitoring tool. It's also a means of seeing how well your branding is working, how well your marketing messages are getting across, and also listening for any kind of customer complaints or concerns. So it fulfills a number of different, similar to the old-fashioned clipping service that PR firms used to run, except that it's focused with online media.
Great. And so what is an example of a company that, can you talk about an example of a company that's used your service and maybe something, a particular instance that they found it particularly helpful?
Well, the interesting thing is that we're kind of a self-service tool, so we don't hold the hand of a lot of our clients, so we don't kind of work with them that closely. It is kind of they set it up and work with it just the same way that you would set up and work with a Gmail account or something like that. But I can tell you just generally that we have small businesses, so local businesses or realtors, attorneys that just want to monitor their main brand or their own name. Mm-hmm. We have Fortune 500 companies, multi-billion dollar companies that just want a very simple, effective tool they can deploy without a steep learning curve or without having to, request a budget for the year. And then we have agencies. It's very popular among agencies because we have an all-you-can-eat buffet where for $297 a month you can manage all of your clients' campaigns and give them their own logins and co-brand it so that it's white labeled to your brand and provide a monitoring service for clients. So we kind of serve a lot of different types of clients.
Well, that sounds great, and I can see how that's a real sweet spot for growth going forward. I could see how you're going to be getting a lot more clients in the future as people become more aware of all the different uses that can come out of using a service like Tracker.
Right, and we are, we're seeing that the industry is, I think more people are kind of starting to realize they need something like this, and so, yeah, we're very excited about the coming year.
Great. Well, I wanted to wrap up, going back to the Super Bowl, since that was just a couple of days ago, and I know it's on the minds of many folks, so I thought I'd just ask you if there was anything that stood out to you about the Super Bowl ads, particularly, given your perspective, having been thinking about internet marketing for years, and now specifically on reputation management. I'm just curious to get your reactions to some of the things you saw.
I think it was. There's a number of observations you can make. Pepsi wasn't advertising this year because they're diverting a lot of their money to online and social media, so that was kind of interesting. You had Google running its first ever TV ad, that was kind of interesting. The company that's leading the way with a new type of advertising chose one of the oldest platforms to advertise on, but to their credit, they ran an ad that had been running on YouTube for the last 3 months, and they knew it was popular. They knew it was on target with the messaging, so they kind of tested it online first, and then ran it in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
It was just interesting to be an observer and look at Twitter and the reactions that came down the pipeline from people almost instantaneously to the ads as they came on. And I think that I'm hoping that a lot of those brands were paying attention to that because, it's a great way to tap into, free market research almost instantaneously as to how well their ads were received by the different demographics and the different audience.
Right. Great. Well, Andy, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me. I could, ask you a million other questions, but I feel like I've, have hit some high points with you, and just look forward to learning more from you as we follow you on Twitter and on your Marketing Pilgrim blog, and to see how Tracker develops. So thank you again for your time. I really appreciate it.
No problem. It's a pleasure chatting with you. And if there's any follow-up questions from anybody, then the best way to reach me is just go to andybeal.com, and all my contact information is right there.
Great. andybeal.com. We got it. Thanks so much, Andy.
Thanks, Denise.
All right. Bye-bye.
That's it for today. Thanks for listening to the Brand as Business Bites podcast. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes so your brain will always be filled with good stuff to chew on. For more information or to contact me directly, please visit my website at DeniseLeeYan.com. Take care, and thanks again.